Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Start the 5 o'clock hour with some sadness, and it's not our fault. It's baseball's fault. It's Philadelphia's fault. It's John Kincaid's fault. There's no baseball for Braves fans tomorrow. Braves opening day has been canceled. Well, postponed. It'll happen Friday at 3:05. All the things you knew about tomorrow's game will apply on Friday.
Strider and Wheeler and the times and the first pitch.
All of it, the way you said it exactly. 3:05. Spencer Strider, Zach Wheeler. You'll hear it here on The Fan. On FM at 93.7, on AM at 680, and of course, the 680 The Fan mobile app. Do you have your app ready, everybody? We should all make sure we have our app, because we're going to be tapping at 3:05, pretending we're working Friday. Well, some people pretending they're working Friday on Braves opening day. But who would have ever guessed that in the Northeast in late March, there'd be a chance of cold weather with rain? That just seems so out of place. Huh.
Seems you have enough stadiums, either southerner than that or with roofs, that you can avoid some cities. You'd think, maybe.
Braves.
Or push it off a week or so.
Braves-Phillies has been canceled tomorrow. Mets-Brewers has been banged tomorrow as well now.
Mets-Brewers. They have a roof. It's 70 and calm.
Now, as the story goes, the Braves were like, we don't need opening day. We'd rather have July 4th. And that's one of the stories that came out of one of the A-list meetings. But you could still have the Braves start on the road somewhere like, I don't know, San Francisco or on the West Coast. San Francisco's in San Diego for the first weekend of the season. Not that Northern California is exactly Hawaii. It's cold and windy, but most times you don't get rainouts. Why would you have the Mets, the Phillies, the Red Sox, any of these teams ever starting at home in the late stages of March? For that matter, the White Sox or the Cubs. I know you can't accommodate all this stuff, but this is not a shocking turn of events when we're canceling the opener because of bad weather.
Yeah, you're eventually going to put all the parameters in and the Commodore 64 will shoot out the schedule, okay? But part of what you put in is we're going to turn that San Diego card the first series. We're going to turn that Anaheim card the first series. We're like all these places that have roofs, they're going to host. The Marlins, they're in Florida and have a roof, so they're really going to host. Like all of this stuff's going to happen for the first two series of the season.
Can I also add, why are we canceling games 24 hours ahead of time? I feel like that's the thing we do, and they did this in Philly a year ago or something, and it was like sunny and 60 the next day. I don't know, whatever. What do I know? I'm just a ticket buyer. Oh, speaking of that, the Game Time app, that's available for you to download. When the Braves come back to sunny Truist Park, you can get your season opening tickets. Save $20 off your first purchase with the code THEFAN, THEFAN, first purchase, $20 off, code THEFAN, THE.
Nice plug.
I'm not done. THEFAN. Game Time app. Make sure you download it and ready to go. And we don't get rain here. That doesn't happen, okay? There's no
weather's
rain
here. Weather's the worst. I hate it. It's
Philadelphia. Just a crummy city. Rocky statue and cheesesteaks and fat people. Just put me in a bad mood. I guess the only good news is we will have Friday off, so I'll get to enjoy opening day. Then Monday off. So we're going to have a four-day weekend. Well, the locker room will work Friday morning 6 to 10. Then they'll work Monday morning 6 to 10 as well. And we'll have to, and I'm willing to sit in both days if they want me to because, again, I'm a worker bee and I don't need the time off.
Yeah, I work 11 to 1. So what's a day off to you, Chuck? I don't know. Hosting a show with three other guys.
That's unnecessary.
I didn't.
Did I say that?
Piece together? Is that a...
So unnecessary. How many guys are on the locker room?
Four.
Okay. Well, that just is coincidence.
Four guys, four.
Total coincidence. There's nothing more you can apply to that. So, again, no baseball tomorrow, but Ben and Joe will have the call for you Friday here on The Fan. We do have our Braves season preview tonight, the extravaganza with Dylan Short and then Steve West coming together for 2 hours to talk all things Braves. And Dylan's going to be wound up. It's been a minute.
Yeah, he's back in good graces, I guess.
Did he fall out of favor?
Did he get banned from the battery?
I don't know what happened.
Something happened. Like, he wasn't allowed on the property.
Something happened.
It feels like they
made ankle monitor or something.
They made a choice of 680 Rewind, giving you the best moments of the 680 day over Dylan.
Honestly,
he got bumped?
I don't know.
A couple of weeks back, I was like, I guess he's on suspension. Like, something happened.
I don't have the answers. Management doesn't share that kind of stuff with us, but look forward to that tonight at 6 o'clock, and then opening day, all the action on Friday, so bully for us. All right, couple of things with the Falcons I want to get to as league meetings continue in Orlando. All the rich owners, all the coaches, all the GMs together addressing the media, talking about rules changes, all those things. Well, Raheem Morris, who's looking jacked, by the way, the guns on Raheem, and he is wearing the short sleeve shirt, like short sleeve showing off the guns. He talked about a lot of topics from quarterback stuff to defense, what they need to add. And he talked about pass rush and how he hopes the Falcons will still add to that room.
I think you need to add a pass rusher. I think what we did in L.A. shows people that you can get people to do at their highest level. Would you want to add a veteran pass rusher that's proven that can come in and do some of those things? You always would do those things. You always look to do those things. You always look to add. I think Terry and his staff have done a great job of really evaluating the market, see how it fits us, also being cautious and aware of what the cap situation looks like. But when you go out there and look in the draft, we talked about it earlier before you showed up, but the depth in the draft really provides you some real good opportunities to add people and pieces in areas where you can do those things.
I don't want to hear cautious and aware of the cap right now. I really don't. I don't want you to be reckless and dumb, but I need you to push the cap here. You've got a 2-year, maybe three if the world is perfect for Kirk Cousins. You got to push this a little bit. We cannot be in September or October and come here and do this stupid radio show and say, well, the Falcons lost 34-31 because they still didn't address defense because they were cautious and aware of the cap. Now, I'll tell you, I don't think they have been cautious and aware. I just think they haven't been able to close the deal. In other words, I think they wanted Danielle Hunter. Danielle picked somewhere else. He went to Houston. I think they wanted some other pass rush. Haven't been able to get it done. Now, you're not in the business of getting paid to try, and Terry's got to get things done, but it's not a lack of trying. It's just a lack of closing.
Oh, yeah, Danielle, you talk about strategic, and you're right. He did just pick another place. He's like, let's see, I can be opposite that guy who just was NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. He'll get the doubles, and I'll have a 2-year deal, incentive-laden, and I will blow up after two seasons of free agency again, maybe.
But so. I need Raheem to turn the charm on. Because when Raheem got here, Jalen Ramsey told me everybody's going to want to play here for free. Wasn't that a thing that Jalen essentially said? Jalen's like, people will go pay to play for him. Well, show up. I need some Raheem magic right here to get me some pass rush. Because right now,
wait a minute, they signed a 2-time Pro Bowler and the cap hit went down.
if the season was to begin today, and it wouldn't. It's March. It'd be weird. Like there's some version of Arnold Ebiketie on one edge and. I don't even know what's on the other edge.
Where the Texans have Will Anderson and Danielle.
Don't rub it in. Now, the Falcons and Raheem did say they're still talking to Calais.
Raheem was he said, 7 or 9 last year? $7 million?
Calais sounds right. Yeah. 7-ish, maybe. And he said, I told him what my vision was and where we could potentially go. Raheem told the reporters, I'll let you talk to him to see what he's going to do next.
Baker said he won the Tampa game.
Calais
won the game down in Tampa.
If you consider Calais's age, and you consider the miles he has. I thought Calais was as good as you could expect
Absolutely
him to
true.
Be.
Yep.
Now, it's a shame that you needed him to be that good because you don't have a bunch of answers. He still was very good against the run. He got occasional pressure, and he's still a massive human being to move. So would you like to have him back for the right price next year? Sure. But it can't be as your 60% of snaps kind of guy.
He started.
He did.
Same thing with Bud Dupree. Really, really important.
I thought Bud was fine, too. But those have to be rotational guys. And that means – I brought up Hassan Reddick earlier. That seems like a no-brainer.
Wasn't that the idea for Calais?
No. When Calais came here, he was going to play. He wanted to play a ton of snaps. And who were the other answers? If it wasn't Calais, remember, part of the reason he signed here was they told him he could play D-end. That was a part of the appeal for him.
And somebody who didn't have a walker.
That's unnecessary. You're talking about a borderline. Maybe he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know. I'm not good at that.
Okay. Young man's game.
I understand.
And that's what he was really good. He was way too important to them last year.
That's a problem for them, not for Calais. I love having Calais in that room. I'd love to have him in a rotation, but I'd love to have Hassan Reddick and Jared Verse on the edges, and then Calais spots
Sold.
One of them. Yeah, that might be a way to go. Here's more from Raheem Morris, who talked about the quarterback room, the decision to move on from Desmond Ridder, and why it made sense.
When we talked about Des, and we talked about what his role could be, you know, him potentially being that young person that can play with us as well. So we had a vision for him, but you field calls from people all the time about different people, about potential trades and those things. Desmond was a great kid and did not come to us and demand a trade. He did not come to us and do anything like that. He was in working out, doing the things that he's supposed to do. The opportunity presented itself for him to get a new start. The opportunity presented for us to add speed to our room and do some things at our receivers part with a guy that I just got finished playing against for the last 4 years that drove me nuts.
That guy would be Rondale Moore, who drove him nuts, and they traded to get some speed on the outside.
Slot, actually.
I think with Kirk, he can have some fun gadget things, and you can do some stuff with him to get him in space.
Was there any human on Earth who thought that after the Cousins signing, Desmond pushed in the coach's office door, you trade me now?
I want out.
It's like, hey, I want everybody to know Desmond didn't come in angry demanding a trade. Nothing like that happened. Oh, well, because we debated it. It was our Twitter poll one day.
The other news from Raheem, he says Taylor Heinicke will battle for the second job with whoever the third, and they're going to bring a third quarterback in. Maybe that's in the draft. Maybe that's a young project of a quarterback. And Taylor does not excite anybody. Taylor stunk here last year. Taylor was awful. But you start looking at backup quarterbacks, and they all kind of look like Taylor Heinicke. Now, the money's weird that they're willing, unless they're going
to
redo his deal.
Didn't they hit something on March 13th with him?
Yeah, he got a $1.3 million bonus for being on the roster. But, again, they can still move some money, give him a fake second year, which I think they'll do. As much as I don't like Taylor being one snap away from having to play, go look at the quarterbacks out there. They all look like him. They're all just kind of ick. I mean, that's where we are right now. Unless, again, something surprising happens that there's a guy who was a starter and has fallen out of favor and he's your more solid backup. I don't expect that to change the number two. What I do think is, I do think they're going to draft a quarterback. I really do. Whether that's late third, fourth, I think they're going to draft somebody as a project quarterback just to learn at the feet of Kirk Cousins. He might not be in the future anyway, but maybe you get lucky and you roll the dice and he finds a home.
Yeah, there's been a lot of flyers. I don't say flyers. Every draft pick is valuable. But when you say, we'll give you a sixth round for Mac Jones,
mm-hmm.
That's kind of saying we will invest at the, not the least we can, that's a seventh round pick, almost the least we can. A pick at the end. We were a playoff team into the sixth round. Here you go.
All right, a couple of Georgia things. Congrats to Mike White and the White Walkers. Mike White, one of the many guests that stopped by today. The fan was all over Athens today doing big things. From the locker room 6 to 10, the Buck Ballou show 10 to 11, Cellini and D'Amino show 11 to 2, from Mike White to Kirby Smart to Josh Brooks and others, all those interviews online available at the 680 The Fan mobile app as well. The Dogs last night went into Columbus. I think they were a 9.5-point dog. They beat Ohio State 79-77, so they go to the NIT semis for the first time since 1998. They have their first 21 seasons since 2016. They got off to a great start this season and things dip, but I think overall you have to feel very good if you're Georgia about what White did this year and with that team. Now they go to the Palatial, and it's not the Mecca anymore. It's not exactly Madison Square Garden. The Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis for the NIT.
It's the Butler place, right?
Semifinals, if you say so. Is that what that is, Hinkle Field? I have no idea.
Indiana?
That's where it is.
I don't want to get this wrong. Is this where Hoosiers was?
I don't know. I thought it was the old Conseco Fieldhouse, but I could be so wrong. Do we know? Somebody look this up.
I don't want to get this wrong.
You shouldn't care about getting this wrong.
Intern!
If only we had a segment at the end of the show where we cleaned up.
I don't
want to
get
this
wrong. I'm sorry.
Kirby Smart was a guest of Nick and Chris on the Cellini and D'Amino show. Have we decided, is it Cellini and D'Amino or D'Amino and Cellini
show?
Who
cares?
Well, no. Like, there are managements and consultant types who do care about that stuff. So, either way, they were on today, Nick and Chris, Cellini and D'Amino. And then Kirby Smart stopped by. And I don't think Kirby was wearing socks with his boat shoes, which is a decision. It's a smelly decision. His feet got a smell and sweat.
Oh, yeah, you got to go Johnson & Johnson in the bottom of those.
It just feels like just an, I don't know.
There's an easy way out. Throw on socks.
So I guess I would say it this way. If you're a runner, a walker, you're somewhere, you're not going to go drawless if you're going to be out walking because you get the rubbing. Same thing with the feet. Everybody's had that back of the heel thing on those shoes. Anyway, Kirby Smart didn't get into specifics on Trevor Etienne, but he did discuss driving issues with his kids in college, and he made the point that this is nothing new.
That's been a problem long before NIL. You educate your players. You make sure they understand exactly what risk they're taking. We try to put a lot of peer pressure on them among each other, that it's the responsibility of their teammates to watch after each guy, too. But at the end of the day, you make mistakes, there's consequences. That's true in life. That's true in football. That's true all the way up. And the older you are, usually the more extreme those consequences are.
A lot of drops on driving right there. There's a lot of stuff on driving. It's Kirby Smart got into college coaching. He's like, I got to worry about the secondary, and I got to worry about getting pass rush, and I got to worry about coaching against Nick Saban. And now here he is, and he's like, I got to talk about driving. Constantly driving. Kids drinking and driving, kids speeding while driving, kids driving Lamborghinis, all the stuff with the driving for Kirby. Now, he wasn't done. He said there is an option out there, and I haven't heard of this, but Kirby intimated there's a ride share company or two that if those kids needed an option, they could get home.
You should Uber anytime if you have drinking and driving involved, but nobody drives. That's not an answer to the problem, because part of being a college student, being of age to drive, is to drive. Don't drink and drive. What? And don't speed. What? But driving is not in and of itself the issue. We've spent more time now. I think we've had 7 or 8 players go through a driver's ed course here who came to school at 18 years old, but we got 21-year-olds that don't have a driver's license. They don't even have a driver's license because they grew up doing Uber. So all you end up doing is pushing off what's inevitable. We like to say we're going to prepare you for the real world. We want to prepare you to be an NFL player or a contributor to society. You need to be able to drive to do that.
All right, let me understand. So he wants you to show up on campus being able to drive, or he doesn't want you to drive at all? Because at first he said nobody drives, which I know what he means. There is a full generation of kids who are not getting licenses. They are just taking rideshare or friends, and they're just not running to get their license. So is he saying if you showed up maybe with a couple of more years of experience under your belt, you wouldn't drive 95, or you wouldn't drink? I don't know.
He's saying we want you to drive responsibly. He says, now that first part, he says it's not evil. Driving is not the issue. In fact, we encourage you to drive, and we've had 7 or 8 kids show up who didn't have their license yet. He said, so we encourage them to drive because to be successful in life, got to drive. Driving. He's right about that.
But driving has been the
issue. He says, now drive responsibly.
Let me be clear about this. Driving has been the issue. Drinking as a college kid's not an issue. Everybody does it. You mix the two, it becomes an issue. The driving becomes the issue because you guys with these heavy foots in these cars that go 140, that's the issue. Like, if you're driving my mom's Toyota Tercel in 1994, you're probably not going to be able to put your foot on the floor and get over 65 miles an hour.
You in the steering column would just
shake in like crazy. My car shakes over 65.
But you don't have to consume alcohol to have a productive life. You kind of need to be able to drive if it's going to happen that way.
Okay,
kind of need
Dad,
to be able to do that.
You're talking about a college kid, though. I mean, just, like, the driving, it would be better if they just banned all licenses in Athens. Nobody gets a car. Just kill them all.
No, that's not it. He's saying the opposite. He's saying driving's not the problem.
He's saying the opposite. He's not telling you the truth. Driving is a big problem. How many kids have gotten popped over there for making bad decisions behind the wheel? Driving is a part of the problem.
And I told you part of it as well. Go back 5 years ago, it was all 4-cylinder Dodge Chargers that you could get for $23,500, but looked like they had some teeth to it. Now it's Hellcats and Demons and, like, full Hemis, and that's how kids are getting in, like, big trouble now because of name, image, likeness. They're not driving cars that are 23.5.
His quarterback is driving a Lambo. You don't think he freaks every night?
Absolutely.
His quarterback, now it's like, it's not a Lambo, like, we would think, it is some sort of a Lambo truck, something or other. Doesn't matter. It's a Lambo.
It's kind of like the SUV-ish. It's more further blurring the line with minivan. And,
but that's... know. If he was driving a Plymouth Voyager, an 88 Plymouth Voyager, I bet Kirby wouldn't be as worried.
Oh, if it was an Aerostar, Kirby's probably down with it.
He's like, all right, you know, it's going to make that loud noise when you make a turn because, I mean, it's just guzzling gas, and you're going to get it up to 22 miles an hour. So,
it's got that smoke ring around the exhaust on the back of the hatch.
100%. You guys can hear the rest of that interview. It was good stuff with Kirby and the Domino and Cellini, or the Cellini and Domino show. I can't keep up. 11 to 2 every day here on The Fan. Now, I have a challenge for you tonight.
About what?
Hawks are playing the Blazers over at State Farm.
Okay.
How many of the 10 starters on the court, five Hawks, five Blazers, do you think you could name?
Let me start. DeAndre.
Nope, he's been coming off the bench. You're already over.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, you got DeJounte. Although he's questionable tonight, but yes.
DeAndre Ayton.
No.
Is he really not starting for them? No, he's got to be starting. I think he is, isn't he? Keep going. You're doing great.
Mr. Big Shot is the coach.
Robert Horry?
No, Chauncey.
Oh, Chauncey Billups.
Chauncey's the coach, isn't he?
He might be. If you say
I think
so.
Chauncey Billups is the coach.
You might be right. But so that's not a starting. He's not starting.
No, I've got the coach right. That's worth half.
Is Scoot starting? Atlanta's own Scoot Henderson, is he starting?
Hang on. I know this. Not Trey, because he's hurt.
I don't think you do.
Is Bogey starting?
He has been.
Thank you.
Good job. Congratulations. You're at three now.
Who's playing center?
For the Hawks? Well, there's a guy named Capella.
Okay.
You're new here.
Well, no, he had been out a little bit, but he's back.
Yeah, Bruno's been getting some minutes, too. So the Blazers come in tonight, losers of 7 in a row, 8 of 9.
Hawks are can do, you know.
What? What are you saying?
Further solidify their 10 spot.
All right, this is funny. You ready? This is the starting five from the Blazers the other night in their 18-point loss to the Rockets. Mm-hmm. Scoot, something named Tumani Kamara.
Oof.
Something named Ryan Rupert.
Jeez.
Something named Duop Reith.
Oops.
And something named Chris Murray. That was their starting five. The hell is going on?
Chris Murray play at Iowa.
Why do you do that? Why do you do that?
I take that back.
No, you can't. You ask, why would you do that? Like, I don't understand how that.
Ah!
You're so happy. Look, he's so happy with himself.
We should linger a little bit on that one. Just.
All right, where did Duop Reith play?
Serbia.
LSU. Where did Ryan Rupert play?
The former something republic. I don't know. I don't know.
It just says second round pick, so I assume he was an international draft pick. We've lingered way too long on that matchup tonight, again, over at the State Farm Arena. Let's get our worst idea.
Get ready for Chuck and Chernoff's worst idea.
All right, we'll take your worst idea answers like we have been all day at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. It's that time when we're getting all the press releases about the new food at different ballparks, and everything's bigger and just obnoxiously American. We've got to give you these huge serving sizes. I've joked, there's a piece of pizza over at Truist that when my 9-year-old, who's now 11, ate it, it went from about his head to his waist. That's how big the slice is.
Yeah, the portion is part of the pitch. Like, hey, it's this huge cheeseburger or nachos. Nachos in a batting helmet.
Mm-hmm. So we asked you guys for the most gluttonous stadium food item you kind of dig. Kevin said, and we mentioned this one on the show the other day, the campfire milkshake would be one he would dig into with the graham crackers and the marshmallows and the pieces of chocolate. He said he would finish about 1/5 of it, but he'd do a little work. He also mentioned the Braves burger, Burgerita. Remember that one? That was there from 2016 to 18. The big old burger with the pizza in the middle
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. That's what I said. Part of it is just the crazy combination and the size. And that's not necessarily what I said. The rainbow cookies, it's a good size. It's got the fried thing going, the sweet.
It's the rainbow egg roll.
Yes.
Yes. Fat Casey. Shocking that Fat Casey got in on this one. He said the stadium nachos at Mercedes-Benz. Red and black tortilla chips, brisket burnt ends, queso blanco, pico de gallo, barbecue sauce. I'm reading the words in here in case you get fatter while I'm reading it.
Yeah, the fresh jalapenos, not just the pickled. Good stuff.
He really is so excited.
He's right about that. Yeah. Casey, sup?
CW said the H&F burger, much like Brian Gephardt digging that one. Brad went with the footlong grilled cheese at Truist. And then we got another vote for the Burgerita, the loaded nachos, the Williams Brother pork nachos at Sanford Stadium. KO went with the fully loaded fries. We have a very hungry audience. The Big Nuxie. Why do I not know this one? The Big Nuxie at Truist Park. Pulled pork on cornbread. Onions, pickles, coleslaw, barbecue sauce, named of course after Phil Neagle.
That sounds just great.
It does. It sounds like a lot, though.
Brisket on cornbread.
Yep.
Yum, yum. Come and get you some.
And then Danik said the other night at the movie theater, went with his girlfriend to an AMC theater. She wanted one of the giant pretzels, $16.49. Look at that thing. Look at that.
Why $16 for yum.
The pretzel is two times the size of her head.
It's baked dough.
Better have some of that beer cheese or something to dress it
that
up.
That hard salt on
some
the
some mustard, something. You guys can send your answers to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed, the gluttonous stadium food item that you love.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.